Okay, we're going to start here at the top of Lamed Amud Aleph. The Gemara is discussing, we left off with yesterday, that the Gemara says it's pshito, that if something turns into vinegar, that it's asura. Just because it moved from wine to vinegar, if it was asur as wine, then it should also be asur as vinegar. The Gemara said, well, that's the teachings, that if you have chometz of Yisrael, and he's mafkidit, etzel agoy, he only needs one chotem. He only needs one chotem on it, because we're not afraid anymore of yayin nesach. Because nobody makes chometz, nobody makes vinegar into a nesach. And number two is, lachlufe, if he's going to swap out the chometz, which is the other fear, to be mizayif. For him to forge the seal, it's not worth his time to do it, to switch it out. And the Gemara made a similar statement about yayin mevushal. When it comes to yayin mevushal of us, also when you're mafkidit etz lagoy, you only have to put on one seal for the same reason. Yain mevushal is not something that we're menasich lifnei ha-mizbeach. And number two is that it's not worth the time or effort to forge the seal. So beginning on the top of Lamed, the second line, we say Tamar Banan. Yain mevushal, valontit shel ovdei kochavim asurim. When it comes to yain mevushal, or alontit of the ovdei kochavim, they are asurim. Now this is belonging to a goy. Suppose the yain mevushal of a Jew, which was the previous piece of the Gemara. Now we're talking about Yayin Mevushal of a Goy, as Alontit is Asur. Alontit Kivriyato Kivraita Mutaret. Then Alontit Kivraita is permissible. I'll come back to it in a second, as Machlokas Rashi and Tosafot, what this Alontit Kivraita is. Vezi Alontit, what is this Alontit that we're talking about over here? Right, so it depends. According to Tosafot, it'll be Kivriyata. According to Rashi, it might be Kivraita. It depends. One, it says that it's a natural, and one says it's an outsider. So depending on how you pronounce it, be depending on Rashi and Tosfos. Alright, Kedetanyo. Gabi Shabbat, we have a braita. Osim anumalim, vein osim alontit. You can make on Shabbos anumalim, because that's a normal drink. Whereas alontit, which is used for rufua, that would be restricted on Shabbos. Anumalim is made up of yain vidvash upilpilin. It's made up of wine, honey, and peppers, or pepper. Alontit, and the end is made out of yain yashan, right, older wine, umayim sfulim, mixed with clear or filtered water, farfar simon, and persimmon, those three things, the avdei lebei masuto, and it's a cure or something that helps for the bathhouse. So these are the alontit that we're talking about here. Since one of the ingredients in this alontit is wine, therefore it presents a problem if you're going to purchase it from a Ovid Kochavim. Because now, yes, that it's mixed as a lontit, he will no longer be menasechet on the mizbeach, but the wine originally was his, and if it was already yain nesech, and then he mixed it into the alontit, Gemara will ask the same question, isur aloheichan paka, right? Where did the isur go? So the isur remains with this alontit, just like it does with the yain mevushal, which is just because he boiled the wine afterwards, doesn't mean prior to him boiling the wine that it wasn't already yain nesech, or wasn't a problem of being asur ba'ano, and then he boils the wine. So those two things prevent us from purchasing these items from an Ovdei Chachamim. The Gemara talked about before that this alontit was good for the bathhouse. That's because it cools the body off. Right after one goes into the bathhouse and they're hot, therefore when they go out of the merchatz, they need something to cool them off. This was a drink that was like a wine cooler that they had after they went to the bathhouse. On the other hand, the Gemara stated that alontit kivriyata or kivraita is impermissible. Rashi says alontit is kivraita, which means like an outsider. So that shelo hayat chila biyad ovdei kochavim ela lacha suya miyad Yisrael. He purchased it ready-made from a Jew. So he's just reselling what a Jew provided over here. So in that case, the wine was already belonging to a Jew. The Jew then hands over this finished product to the goy, and the goy is now reselling it. So we don't worry about, because of that, we don't worry about the yain nesach, because the wine is already mixed into this mixture of alontit, the wine, the water, the filtered water, and the first simon. So therefore, we don't worry about it, and he can resell it, and you can purchase it without having any problem with yain nesach. So that's a statement according to Rashi. According to Tosafot, Tosafot has two things to say. Number one is that based on what Rashi says, he says there's a big conclusion here, or an important conclusion. And he says, if you look, it's the third line in the top toast on the left side, he says, Mikan raya, latir, tavshil, shenit ari, bo yayin, kodim shibishlu. If there's a tefshil, some sort of cooking, something that you're going to cook that has wine mixed in it before it is actually cooked, if a Ovid Chachavim touches that tefshil, even though it's not Yain Mevusha yet, once it's mixed in, he doesn't bring it, he doesn't offer it to his Avodah Zarah, which is what we just said, exactly what we just said about this Alontit. This Alontit that has wine mixed into it, even though it's not Mevushal, nevertheless, if it comes from a Jew, according to Rashi, there is no problem of Yain Nesech, even though you don't have Yain Mevushal and the wine's in there. So based on that, Tosa says, we have a great, this is a big heter. If wine is mixed with something else, even though it's not yet Mevushal, the mere fact that it's mixed in already makes it that he would not make it into Yain Nesech. If he won't make it into Yain Nesech, we don't have a problem anymore of Yenisicham, that the yain, their yain will be a surbanog when he touches it. Rabbeinu Tam then rejects Rashi's pshat. Now, if you reject Rashi's pshat, you also reject that chiddush, because now Rabbeinu Tam says v'ikshu Rabbeinu Tam v'lashon. Now, this is what you were saying, Shaul, which is kivriyata lo mashmakein. Kivriyata means au naturel, means the original. What does that mean? So Rabbeinu Tam perish daloti derech ulasod mitchila below yain. They used to make alontit with the filtered water and the farasimon without the wine added in yet. And then, as you begin to use the mixture, then at that point you add the wine. The wine is added later on. That is the core mixture that you have, and then you add the wine as you drink it. Because if you put it in with the wine already in it, it will not last. It'll go bad. You'll have to store it. It'll get ferment. It'll be a problem. So based on that, kivriyata is perish kamoshi nasit, natural, the original way. That's what it means. Mitchila below yain, without wine in it. Bro, now he sees a moshech mina chavit muteret. If he sees he's taking the mixture right out of the barrel, it's mutar. It's vailo ira bo yain. Because then he hasn't put in wine. The way the Rabbeinu Tam reads it over here, Rashi reads it that it comes from a Jew, and it's already in the mixture. Therefore, there's no problem of Yai Nesech. And we had the Chiddush. That means that anything that wine is mixed in with, even though it's not Mevusha yet, will not bring a problem of Yai Nesech. That's Rashi. Rabbeinu Tam says, no. What it means over here, this is talking about a mixture that doesn't have wine in it. And Kivriyata means that you have it natural, the original way. Meaning that you have it before they've added the wine. So if you see him pouring you the mixture before the wine is added, you can buy it from him, because there's no wine added yet. And then you can add the wine yourself. Well, the Avamina is that maybe we worry about the fact that a lontit has naturally, does eventually have wine in it. And so we maybe did add the wine just before, but we assume that it's not added. That's the Chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam. I don't think it's as big a Chiddush as what Rashi is saying. Nevertheless, Tosfos in the end says, Mikom Makom, Yesh Raya LaHatir. Now, he says, nevertheless, even if you learn like Rabbeinu Tam, I still have a Raya to be Matir like Rashi. And then he brings a Raya from the Tosefta, and then he brings the Ritzvah. From the Ritzvah, the Davka Tavshil, Fish Inni Hayayim Yikar Be'ein Klau. Only a Tavshil where the wine is mixed in and you can't separate, the wine's not easily discernible. If the wine is easily discernible, then you still have a problem of Yai Nesach. If it's mixed in already, where it's not discernible anymore, then already it's mutar, and he says, v'chein alocha l'masa. That's what the Tosfos, right? The problem is there, that the wine beforehand, right, before it gets to the V8, I mean, if it's a kosher wine that's put in, then you're fine once the mixture, and then the guy touches it. The problem is if the additive of the wine or the coloring beforehand. Rav Moshe talks about that, we'll discuss it in a minute, about those, about the grape and coloring, the food coloring that they use with the grapes. Then we'll talk about that in a second. But what the Ritzvah does say is that Rashi's Chiddush stands, even if you read like the Rabbeinu Tam, because he has a proof from somewhere else. That is a big Chiddush, that once the wine is added, if you have kosher wine that is added into a tavshil, then if a guy touches it, there's no problem of Yain Nesech. So even if the Yain is not Mevushal, once it's mixed in, since it won't be used as Yain Nesech anymore, we don't worry about the fact that the guy touches it. So that is a big Chiddush, and it would be a big Het there, as long as if they've used kosher wine in the mixture along the way. Now, we have Rabba v'Rav Yosef. Damri Tavayu, Yain Mazug, Ein Bo Mishum Gilui, Yain Mevushal, Ein Bo Mishum Nisuch. So they make two statements. One is Yain Mazug, which is diluted wine, is not a problem of Gilui, which will be the subject of the rest of this Amud. which is wine that is left exposed overnight? Do we worry about the fact that a snake came along and drank from it and deposited his venom inside of it? Yain mevushal, now that's the other issue which we're dealing with, which is the previous Gemara until now, which is that when you talk about boiled wine, ein bo mishum nisuch, there's no problem of nesech, and therefore there won't be problem of yain nesech when it comes to wine that is mevushal. The Gemara says, yibaylo, yain mevushal, yesh bo mishum gilui, o ein bo mishum gilui. What about the fact that gilui, does it apply to yain mevushal, or does it not apply to yain mevushal? So tashma, heid Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi, al yain mevushal, she'en bo mishum gilui. So you have a statement from Yaakov bar Idi, that are talking about yain mevushal, that does not have a problem with gilui. If it's left exposed or open overnight, we don't worry about a snake coming and drinking from it, and depositing his venom inside of this wine. So now, the Gemara is going to continue along these lines, discuss this question of gilui. Gemara says, Rabbi Yanai bar Yishmael Chalash, he was a sick, al legabe Rabbi Yishmael ben Zirud, Rabbanan l'shulei bay. They came to ask him a question. Yatvei becoming a bailu. They asked him, Yayim mevushal, yesh bo mishum gilui, o ain bo mishum gilui? Does Yayim mevushal have a din in gilui or not? Amalu Rabbi Yishmael ben Zirud, hochi amar Rabbi Yishmael ben Lokish, mishum gavar rabo. He is in the name of a gavar rabo, manu, Rabbi Chia. Yayim mevushal, ain bo mishum gilui. That Yayim mevushal does not have a problem of gilui. Amar le nismoch, says, should we rely on this? You're telling us something that you heard. Are you somech on this? Do you pask in this way? So Mechavilu Rabbi Yanai bar Yishmael, he shook his head and he said, "Alai v'altzavarai, it's on my head and on my neck, meaning that I'm taking responsibility for this. That this is a good mesora. I'm willing to pask in the locha this way, and therefore I say it's on me that you can drink the yain galui that was left open overnight. It was yain mevushal." All right, now Shmuel the Ivlat, these are two individuals, have a yatve. They were sitting together. I told the kamayu chamra mevushala. They brought to them cooked wine, meaning boiled wine. Now, Ivlat is a non-Jew. So it's Shimon, this non-Jewish individual, Ivlat, who is very respectful. If you'll see in a second, is mashkal yadeh. He, Ivlat, pulled his hand away. He didn't want to touch the wine because he didn't want to make it into a problem for Shmuel to drink it. So it was very respectful. Amalei Shmuel, Hari Amru, Yain Mevushal, Imbo Mishum Yain Nesech. Says, don't worry about it. Yain Mevushal doesn't have a din in Yain Nesech, and therefore you can touch it, and it won't cause a problem for me to drink it. Now, Amtei de Rabbi Chia, at the maidservant Rabbi Chia, Iglu Yeila, Hau Chamra Mevushala. It was left overnight. There was some wine, this boiled wine that was left overnight. Atei de Kamei de Rabbi Chia, she came before Rabbi Chia to find out what's the din. Don't worry about it. Yain mevushal is not a problem of the gilui. You don't have to worry about it. We can drink this wine. Shamei the Rav Adar Bravo, the servant of Rav Bravo, iglele chamra mezigo. He had this diluted wine that was left open overnight. When he brought it before Rav Adar Bravo, Rav Adar Bravo says, not a problem, because we said before, the statement of Rav and Rav Yosef, that yain mazuk, right, diluted wines, do not have a problem of gilui being left exposed overnight. Amra papa lo amron el demazik tuva. That's only true if it's well diluted. Aval mazik velo mazik shoti. If it's only slightly diluted, then the snake will partake of it, and if he'll partake of it, then we'll have a problem of gilui, or a problem of him depositing the venom there. Umazik velo mazik mishoti. Does a snake really drink this somewhat diluted wine? Rabbi Huna was going on a boat. And on this boat, he was carrying wine. I guess that was the merchandise that he was bringing. He was traveling with wine, barrels of wine. He saw this snake that was rapidly approaching them, breaking through the water at high speed towards them to get some of this wine. Amalei l'shamei, samei enei didein, says, blind, I mean, throw something into the eyes of this snake. Now, Rashi says he interprets it allegorically. He doesn't mean to blind, it means, show him what the merchandise is. Show him what we got on board, that he won't be interested in it. Shoshoki kalei mayim, as he took some water and threw it, shadabe, and threw it at him, besar l'acharei, and he backed off. I mean, that they threw water in him to indicate that the wine was diluted, and it wasn't worth his while for the snake to either attack the boat or the serpent to attack the boat to drink this wine, because this wine was diluted wine. So you see from here that even when it's slightly diluted, when there's some water in it, it's not, the snake is not interested in it. So Gemara says, no, we have to differentiate. Achaya, an undiluted wine, a wine in its full potency, Masr Nafshi, he's willing to be Moser his Nefesh. The snake will come in broad daylight, will attack, will come to drink the wine, he'll be Moser Nefesh. Amzika lo Moser Nafshi. When it comes to wine that is diluted, he would not give up his life. He wouldn't go in daylight or in front of a person and drink from it. Rashi says, "Vamizigol Moser Nafshi." Is that really true? That it's not willing to give up his life to drink diluted wine? Vaha, Rabbi Yanai, have a Beach Pure. Biana was in this place called Beach Pure. Ramilei Baradaya Hava, the place was Baradaya. Beach Pure Avo Yatve, and they were sitting in this place called Beach Pure. Avo Koshate Chamra Mizigol. They were drinking diluted wine. Pashlu Chamra Bekuba. They left some wine. There was undiluted wine left in the pitcher. Ve'tzarinu befrunka. And they placed a beged. They put something on top to cover over the pitcher so nothing would fall into it. Nothing would go wrong with it. Ve'chazilau chevya. He saw the snake that approached. The shakel maya was taking water. Ve'ramba bekuba. And spilling it into the pitcher. Ad demali kuba. Until the kuba was full. Ve'salik chamro eloi. Prunka. And the wine floated above the level of the covering of the beged. Vishati, and then he drank it. So there you see that the snake is willing to drink diluted wine, because the only way for him to get the wine to rise above the cover was to deposit water into the pitcher. And as it deposited the water into the pitcher, it moved the wine above the level of the cover. And above the level of the cover, he's able to drink it. So when it says, Amri, the mozik ihu shati, his own dilution he drinks. If it's diluted by a man or if it's diluted by someone else, that he won't drink. Listen, what's going on here? This is sakana. We're not even talking about an isur here. We're talking about sakana nefashot, that a snake deposited his venom in a wine that is gilui, that was left overnight. And here you are trying to answer up and give answers why it's okay here and it's okay there. We're showing evidence of the fact that snakes are willing to drink diluted wine. Well, if you have evidence to that fact, and then you try to answer up and say, oh, he drinks his own dilution, not someone else's dilution, you're taking a risk in sakana, and you're trying to answer up, oh, don't worry, in this case he will, in that case he won't. We don't accept that. We know that they do drink it generally, and you're trying to make exceptions to the rule, we're not going to accept that, we're going to say, sakana, don't drink it. And therefore, Amar Rava Hilchata, the loch is, Yai Mazug, Yesh Bo Mishim Gului, that the Yayim Azul, diluted wine, does have a problem of Gilui. If it's left open overnight, we worry about venom being deposited in it. The Yesh Bo Mishum Yayin Nesach. It's also a problem of Yayin Nesach, even though it's diluted. Yayin Mivushal, Ein Bo Mishum Gilui. Cooked wine doesn't have a problem with Gilui. Ein Mishum Yayin Nesach. It doesn't have a problem with Yayin Nesach. So boiled wine has protection in the sense that the snake will not drink from it overnight, because it's lost some of its potency. So its potency, he's not interested in the wine, and therefore you don't have to worry about the venom being deposited there. It's also not a problem of yain nesach, because it's not used for nesach. It's not used. And therefore, if a goy touches it, we don't worry about that, the wine. On the other hand, when it comes to yain mazug, we do worry about the fact that it's gilui, that it was left open overnight. We had evidence of the fact that some snakes are willing to drink it. If they're willing to drink it, we have to worry about the deposit of venom in there. Therefore, we do not drink it. And yesh bo shum yayin nesach. If a goy touches it, it does have a din of yayin nesach still. And that also says, yayin mevusha ein bo mishum yayin nesach. He says, ken alocha, that is alocha, mutar b'megia b'maga oveikachem. If a goy touches it, there is no problem anymore of yayin mevusha. What constitutes yayin mevusha is interesting. One halacha that we actually did together, we did this when we were in the Gemara in Baba Batra, that yayin mevusal can be used for a kiddush. Yayin mevusal is permitted to use for kiddush. Many of the tshuvot that are written are about that yayin mevusal still has a bracha of bari priya gofen on it, and it is permissible to use for kiddush. The other question is, what is classified as yayin mevusal? Mevusal, right, would seem to be that it has to boil, that it bubbles up somehow. That would mean it had to reach the boiling point in order to have it be yayin mevusal. That would be in Fahrenheit, that would be 212 degrees Fahrenheit in order to reach the boiling point. Rav Moshe in two tshuvot says, in one of them he says that 180 degrees Fahrenheit is sufficient. He says maybe a little less than that. And in another tshuva he writes specifically 175 degrees Fahrenheit is sufficient. And he says that's because it's enough to be yad soledet bo. that's classified already as Yatzeledet Bo, 175 degrees Fahrenheit, and that's enough to classify it as Ayin Mibushal. In Dinei Shabbos, we use about 112 Fahrenheit. So Rav Moshe over there says, it's like Yatzeledet Bo. He says, you don't have to get to the boiling point, 175. One is enough or sufficient to be considered Yayin Mevushal. Now, if you brought it down to real Yatzeledet Bo, then you would have a even bigger heter, which is that the degrees or the temperature for that is even lower. It would be 112 or so degrees Fahrenheit Yatzeledet Bo. Now, those heterim have big nafkaminot because most times when you have wine, even not Yayin Mevushal, the Yayin Mevushal, where they really boil it and they make sure that it's fully boiled, they boil it up to the points where it's classified as Yayin Mevushal and you don't have a problem if it's written on it, Yayin Mevushal. On the other hand, the wines that are made, wines, fancy wines, any wine that you buy in the store, is not Yayin Mevushal because the Bishul ruins the flavor of the wine, ruins the potency of the wine, and that's why people don't boil it. The whole reason that it's not Yayin Nesach once you boil it is because it's detrimental to the wine. But if you think that the Yayin Mevushal or the threshold for Yayin Mevushal is much lower, then you have an advantage because of the flash pasteurization. So they use what's called flash pasteurization not to ruin the taste of the wine. In that flash pasteurization process, the wine does reach temperatures that are 160 degrees. And therefore, depending on what your threshold is for Yayin Mevushal, flash pasteurization might get you to the point where it is Yayin Mevushal because you cross that threshold. That would have a huge nafkamina in terms of wines that are not quote-unquote classified as mevushal, but have been flash-pasteurized, that they might really be mevushal, even though they didn't reach that boiling point in there. And that's a big, in terms of emotion, and others who think that the point of mevushal is much lower, that will have major nafkamina in terms of pasteurization versus mevushal. Shami de Rav Chilki Abartuvi, the servant of Rav Chilki Abartuvi, Iglei, so he had, it was exposed, Hahu Kisto de Mayo. That he had some sort of water that was open, some pitcher of water. But now Rashi explains over here, it's shame me that yayin should be here. That it was a measurement of wine. So either this is wine, a mixture of diluted wine, or it's water. Either way. And he was dozing off next to it. He went to ask him about whether this has a problem of gilui. Amru imat yashen alehem. That the fear of the one sleeping there is on the snake, and that means he will not come. That's only true in the daytime. At night, he will not be afraid, because everybody's sleeping at night, and he doesn't expect you to wake up. That is not halacha. Lo shna biyomama, lo shna b'leilya, imat yashen aleihem, lo amrinan. We don't worry. If someone is sleeping, that does not protect the item from gilui. Again, it could be gilui here. It's not clear to me here if the gilui here is the kisto, the mayo, is something that was just water, which also has problems of gilui. Or, as Rashi says, it's shem midat yayin. It's a measurement of wine, and if it was diluted wine, which we said before, it does have a problem of gilui. Rav, lo shati bibe arma. He said he would not drink wine in a place called be arma. Amale lo zire bigilui. They're not careful about gilui. Bibe armaloto, in a place called be armaloto, shati. There he would drink the wine. Arma Sircha de Gavra Nikita. He says that's my minhag. I've been drinking there for years. And therefore, even though they may not be makpid on gilui, that's my minhag. And I don't change from my minhag. I've been drinking there all these years. Shmuel lo shati mayo, mi be armaloto. He would not drink water from be armaloto. Even from be armaloto. Amar leitle imto de Gavra. They're not afraid of anybody. And they don't cover their water. So if they don't cover their water, they have a problem with gilui. Over there by Bei Arma'ah, the opposite of Rav, he would drink it. They're not makbid on gilui, because we saw before Rav wouldn't drink it. They are copied on cleanliness. They are copied on
hygiene.
It's because of their hakpada on the cleanliness of the location, then by definition, they'll make sure that it's not gilui. So therefore, since they are makpid and uncleanliness, therefore that's enough to protect you from gilui. Igdamri lav lo shati mayo be arma'ah. Avo be armaloto shati, the same as we saw from Bra before, which is that he didn't drink an arma'ah, but he did drink an armaloto. Shmo lo shati mayo lo be arma'ah, lo be armaloto. He wouldn't drink in either place. Two possibilities. Right? Amra Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Shloshi and Etain. There are three different types of wine. Ve'en behem mishum gidoy, and they don't have a problem with gidoy. Ve'eluhein. They are chad, sharp wine, mar, bitter wine, and matok, sweet wine. What's chad? Chad wine, this sharp wine is tilo charifa dematre zike. This is wine that is so sharp or so potent that causes the flasks to burst or to leak. I mean that the potency is so high that it actually breaks through the flasks that it's kept in. And obviously it doesn't taste good or sweet, but has much more, it's closer to vinegar than it is to wine, and therefore the snake will not drink from it. Mar, the bitter, what's the bitter type of wine we're talking about? That's yarnica. Means that it's awful and bitter. Bad wine. It's just bad across the board. It's bad tasting and it's bitter. The snake's not interested. Matok, sweet wine. What is that? That's chulia. What chulia is that it was the grapes were exposed to the sun, and since they're exposed to the sun, they make sweet wine, but it will not ferment properly. Since it will not ferment properly, it only remains in a sweet state, will never ferment into wine, and therefore the snake will not be interested in it. Ramata matna liyului. Ramata, on the other hand, learned that these three were to the benefit, or to the positive. I mean, the chad, mar, matok that we said over here were to the detriment, meaning that they were all poor quality wines, and therefore the snake will not partake of it. Rabbi Mahama says, no, they were very high quality wines, and the snake did not partake of it. Chad, what's the chad here? Chemar upilpilin. It's wine and peppers. So that mixture the snake's not interested in, but that's something that was considered to be a very good drink, and was supposedly very tasty, so it was something that was positive, but snakes won't partake of it. Spiced wine, right. Mar, what's mar? Afsintin, that has wormwood. Now, I don't know if the wormwood is in it, or it's la'anoa, which was in the Mary Parshan, Tzamim Valech, la'anoa, which is this bitter herb or bitter wood that's brought. So I don't know if that was the barrels that they were contained in had that bitterness to them, and therefore it exposed it, or if it was that actually added to the wine to cause it to be have this flavor. Another possibility, which is the afsintin, is this fermented wormwood that produces, thank you, Shaul, produces a bitter liqueur, and then obviously the snake would not be interested in. Matok, this matok is mei barug, and the Rashi calls it a mashke meshubach. It's a very pleasant, wonderful drink, and that's why it was called the good drink, or the water, the good water. So it was a very good wine that the nachash was not interested in or in drinking that. So therefore, these are all the maliuta, which the snake would not partake of. Karina, inbo mishum gilui. Whatever this karina is, that doesn't have gilui, my karina. It's this vinegar wine, or this type of wine that comes from Asia. So therefore, the wine is not of interest to the snakes, because it has some sort of potency to it, because of the chalyo. So this very potent wine, the snakes are not interested in. Now, Amarabo mkomo yeshbo mishum gilui. If you're in Asia, then it does have gilui. My time, chemar medinahu. It's the local drink, it's the national drink. Right, they're used to it, exactly. Exactly, since they are. Now, chashim or gilimbo, they know they got the local taste buds. They have the local taste buds, they'll drink it because it's a national drink. But if you bring it, if you import it over here, they won't be interested in it because this potent wine is not something that they're used to, and they won't come and drink it. Amarova, hay chamro de akrim, this chamar, this wine that is going bad, I mean it's becoming vinegar, it's fermenting into vinegar. Atlata yome, for 3 days, yeshbo mishim gilui. It has a problem of gilui, mishum yayin nesach, and it still has a classification of yayin nesach. Mikan ve'elech, from there onward, imbo mishum gilui, ve'im mishum yayin nesach. So for the first 3 days, as it the process of fermenting into vinegar, then it still has a status of wine, and it'll be a problem for gilui, it'll be a problem for yayin nesach. After 3 days already, it's got enough vinegar content to it that it's so makukal that we won't drink it. Yes, we did have this in the Gemara. We had this in a replacement of the wines in Boba Batra, where somebody puts it with you. How often do you have to check it? And, right, when you sell it to them, what was the status of the wine when you sold it to them? Yeah, we did have this. Nerdai Amrei, afilu lebotor tzlata yomi chashina mishim gilui. Still worry about gilui even after 3 days. My daima. Zimna and mikre shati. There are some odd instances where the snake will come, and that's what he finds, and he'll end up drinking it. So since there's that chashash and sakana, we're not going to let you go, even after it's gone to a vinegar content. This does relate back to Tosos. Tosos in the bottom of Chof Terem Bet. Over there, Rabbeinu Tam argues that even when something is vinegar, or even something that comes from Boser, still has a problem of Yain Nesech. Even though it's clear from the Gemara that if it's chometz, it's vinegar, it doesn't have a din of Yain Nesech. As Rabbeinu Tam says, we don't know when something is classified as wine and when it's classified as vinegar. We don't know where that threshold is. We're not Bakim. We see even here, the Gemara is having trouble here. It's 3 days, not 3 days. When does it actually become vinegar? So you see there is a safek about when that threshold is. Because of that, Rabbeinu Tam says, even our vinegars today might have a problem of Yain Nesech, because we just don't know when it's classified as vinegar and when it's still wine. So that's similar to what the Gemara is going through over here, that we don't know exactly where this threshold is. Right, that is correct. Of course, yeah. I mean, today they have a lot of vinegars that are not wine vinegars. That solves all the problem. But if it's wine vinegar, then there is a huge problem of yayin nesach. Tarabanan, yayin toseis, ein bo mishum gilui. So wine that has come right from fresh from the press, it is still bubbling from the press, then ein bo mishum gilui. It doesn't have a din in gilui. Bikama tisisato. How long does this fermenting of the wine that comes as fresh from the gat, do we say that they will not drink from it? Gimel yomim. For the first 3 days after the gat, it's hot, it still has a ferment, and therefore the snake will not partake of it because of the heat or the sweetness of that wine. Hashichlayim, ein b'hem mishum gilui. Press or pepper wort, ein b'hem mishum gilui. Don't have a dinim gilui. Rashi over here, when he asks what is shichlayim, he says krishin. So it's something crass. Sounds like it is. He's using that term of krishin. They don't have a din of gilui. Nevertheless, the people in the Gola are no egisur. That's as long as there's no vinegar added to it. Once they've added vinegar, migrei behu. Then already it draws it out or makes it very potent so that it causes a burning sensation when a person drinks it, and the snake will not be interested in it because it'll cause that burning sensation to the gums and they will not touch it. Kutach habavli is made up of stale bread and whey, milk whey, or even spoiled milk. Ein bo shum gilui. Does not have a problem of gilui, because it's so, again, it has this fermented taste to it. It has a very sharp, potent taste to it. Uvnei gola nagu bo isur. Nevertheless, the vnei gola still, we're no isur in it. But Amar Rav Menashe, id be nikure chashinon, says, if we see fang marks in it, then we're choshesh. So meaning, if you don't, even if we're not choshesh for the fact, or the people are not choshesh for kutach habavli, because it's so potent, it's like strong, and the nachash would back away from it, if we actually see fang marks in there, if we see a bite in there, then we start to worry about venom being deposited in there. Amar Rav Chir Bar Ashi, Amar Shmuel, mei tif tif, ein bo mishum gilui. Wine that is dripping on a continuous basis or on a constant basis, that doesn't have a din of gilui. Amar Vashi, v'hud ovid tif lahadei tif tif. That's only if it's continuous or constant do we say that's the case, because the sound of the dropping into the barrel, the dripping, will cause the snake to back away. They'll be afraid to come because of the noise. Again, that's only if it's a constant drip, you know, meaning going one after the next. Therefore, he never will have time to come. If it's dripping in a slower manner, in between the drips, he might be willing to take the risk and take a drink. The point at which you pick the teina, the fig, that it's pulled off of its stem, there's no gilui over there. You don't have to worry about the fact that that point has gilui. Come on. Who's this? Like this author. The time you have a brace, Rabbi Lezer Omer, Ochel Adam Anavim V'Teinim B'Laila. First going to eat grapes and figs at night. Ve'enu Choshesh Mishum. You don't have to worry about them being eaten by the snake or having venom in them, because Shomer P'tayim Hashem, it's unusual case. I mean, this is a somewhat far-fetched case. Plus, people normally eat them at night, and we see that they don't get poisoned. They don't have this problem. Therefore, we say, since it's a normal risk that a person can take, they can eat it, and it will not be a problem. So again, these are grapes and figs that are picked, and they have exposure at a certain point in them. We don't worry that the snake took exactly from that point in the fig. We don't say that he bit from the point that's already open, and therefore you can't tell that the venom is deposited, or same thing from the grape. We don't worry about that when it comes to that small opening. Even though Tosfos says in other places we seem to worry about them and not care, he says that's only when we see marks in it. We see a bird that is pecked at it, or a snake marks and fangs marks in it, then we will worry about it. But until we see that, we're not going to worry about deposits of venom. Amar Rav Safra Mishum Rav Shua Daroma. Shlosha Minei Eresim. There are three types of venom. Shobachur, a young snake, Shokea, sinks to the bottom. Shobom Benoni, a middle-aged snake, Mifapeya. You know, Mifapeya usually means to bubble up a little bit, but it means it bubbles to the center. Shil Zakein, if it's an older snake, then Saf, it floats to the top. The Memra, so your assumption here is the Kama de Koshish, Kachush Chele. The older the snake gets, the less strength it has, and the weaker it gets. By the time you don't have a brace, Shlosha Koz Manshim Azkinin Gvura Mitusevibayim, as they age, they get stronger. Vedohain, Dug, fish, as they age, as they get bigger, they are stronger. Nechash, a snake. The chazir and a pig. So these three, as they get older, they get stronger. So that would undermine what we just said. Somebody says, Koach asufehu dekomosif. You're right. The snake gets stronger. But ziare kolish. But his venom diminishes. The poison or the potency of his venom diminishes, even though his strength increases. Shobachur. When it comes to a young snake, shokei, it sinks to the bottom. The mayhuchsa. But Allah, what is that teaching us? Teaching us the Tanya, chavit shenitgale, a chavit, a barrel that was left open overnight. Afupi sheshatu mimena tisha, even though 9 people have already drank from it, velo meitu, and they didn't pass away, lo yishtu mimena asiri. You have a pretty good test here, 9 people drank from it. You should not be the 10th one to drink from it, because maybe it was a young snake, the venom sunk to the bottom, and you'll be the one who drinks the venom, because it's at the bottom of the barrel. Master, how are you?
The first one should not have drunk from it, but they did
anyway, right.
Then they were saved.
So when you have a good...
You use that as a right.
Exactly, you have good evidence that it should be okay, but that's not good evidence because of this problem that the venom sinks to the bottom. Master, how are you? Shishatu mimenu tisha'a v'lo meitu. So we have exactly like this, a case. 9 drank from it, did not die. V'shata siriyo meit. 10th one drank, and he did die from that. Samar Abiria, zehu shokeya. That is the case of shokeya. That's an example of shokeya. A watermelon that was exposed. Now it's easier, a watermelon. Rashi calls a batiach melafafon melon belaz. It is a cucumber melon in laz. So it's interesting. I would say that that's the, if you look at the rind or the outside, the skin of the watermelon, it has a similar, it's a greenish, like the cucumber. And maybe that's what Rashi is referring to, or the green like a zucchini, a cucumber. That's what he's referring to as a melafafon melon. But this avatiach, they used to cut open a part of it, and it was soft on the inside, they used to eat it, and then they left it exposed. You know how you cut out a slice of a watermelon, and then they leave the rest open when they're sampling, or they're showing you what the inside looks like at the store. They cut open a slice, and you could see the inside. So that was nidgalta, it was left open. Afu bishachlu memeno tet bnei adam. Even if 9 people already consumed, lo meitu, and they were fine, lo yachumeno asiri. Shouldn't do that. Masayah v'achlu memeno tishav, lo meitu v'achal asiri. Maybe we have exactly a case like this, and the 10th person passed away. Amar Rebbe, I guess over here, maybe it should have been our Rebbe Yirmiya, was the previous one, but Amar Rebbe, zehu shokeya. This is a case of shokeya, where it was a venom of a young snake, and therefore it sinks to the bottom. Now the conclusion from this is not only by a bachur, but all of these cases, that you have to be careful for gilui in all instances. You have to worry about it at the top, at the surface, because of the older snakes. You have to worry about it at the bottom because of the younger snakes. And you have to worry about it in the middle because of the middle-aged snakes. So all of these will have nafkamino, depending on if someone poured off the top or someone drained the bottom. Does there still problem of venom? You have to think about all these cases. All of them have nafkamino, even though someone has already consumed from a portion of the battle. Tarabanan, maim shenit galu, arizel lo yishpechem reshut arbim. Water that was exposed overnight that could possibly have venom in it, don't pour it out into the Rishut HaRabim. The lawyer beats behem at the bite, you shouldn't use them to clean the house. Here, clean the house means to sprinkle on the dust, to settle the dust. The lawyer gavel behem at the tit, do not mix the cement with it. The lawyer shkir behem, lo bim behem tov, lo behem et chabirel. Don't give them to your animal or your friend's animal to drink. The lawyer chetz behem panav, yadav ragalav. And he shouldn't wash his hands, face, and feet with it. Chaymer amri, makom sheh sirta asur. In a place where there's a sirta, Rashi says a sedek, a crack that is there, then it's a problem because it can enter then into the bloodstream, enter the skin, and then you can't get it out and it'll poison you. As long as your skin is whole, then it's not a problem. What's the nafkamina between them? It's the same thing. all the places that we're talking about, Panav, Yadav, and Raglav, all have cracks in them. You have between the toes, between the fingers, maybe you have your eyes, your mouth. You do have exposure. So my says, Gava Yad, Gava Rego, right? The back of the hand and the top of the foot, where they aren't usually cracked, or the skin's not cracked over there, there is, according to the Acherim, no problem. But according to the Tanakam, it's still a problem. Verumani the ape, and the area around the cheekbones, where the skin is taut, and there are no cracks over there, it's a softer skin and no cracks, there, according to the Acherim, it wouldn't be a problem. According to the Tanakama, it would be a problem. Amar Mar, lo yishke mehem, lo behem tov, lo behem et chavero. What do you mean you can't give it to your animal or your friend's animal? Vatanyo of mashkeo lo behem et atzmo. We have a din that he's allowed to feed it to his own animal. Kitanya hi, lo shunra. That's who a cat. A cat who has some natural defense against this venom. You can feed him this mayim that was nigle overnight. Iochi de chavrei nami. Says, then why can't you feed it to your friend's cat? If you feed it to your cat, and it's not a problem, feed it to your friend's cat, it won't be a problem. T'chavrei kochish. So he says, wait, if you do it to your friend, it does weaken the cat. It might not kill him, but it does weaken him. So he says, didei nami kochish. So then why would he feed it to his own cat? He caused his own cat's weakness. So hadar bario, it'll get healthy again. So t'chavrei nami hadar bario. His friend's cat will also get healthy again. It says, zimnin debay lizvune. He might have to sell it quick. And he causes him a loss because of the interim between the time that he drank the mayim geluim and then he gets healthy again. In that interim period, if he has to sell it on a fire sale, he might lose money because there's detriment in value. You, it's your own, you can wait for the value to go back up. That's your choice that you cause it to be weak and to get healthy. But if you do that to your friend, you might cause him a monetary loss, and therefore we do not permit you to give it to your friend. And I'm going to stop here because the next statement runs into tomorrow's daf. It's actually the core of Yai Nesech Stam Yenam, that's the Korsugi, and it starts with the statement of Amar Rabbi Yossi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, which we'll leave for tomorrow to go into tomorrow's daf. Okay, we'll stop over here.